We're heading up north to see some bald bears, dead bodies, the biggest steak around, and a cranky but cute local as we go camping for this all-new episode, Totally 80s and 90s Recall. Rob, you could have danced a little. Hello and welcome. On this podcast, we'll take a look at everything the 80s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture, providing some unique insight and hopefully some awesome memories, fun, and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it is great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by a man who'd also like to introduce his big dick to Mr. Urinal Cake. It's my good friend, Rob.
Yes.
I was caught off guard on that one. You got me.
Gotcha.
You got the tater. All right. Well, hello. So I'm going to give get ahead of myself a little bit here. We've got a camping theme. We'll unpack a little bit more, but I wanted to read some. So the camping industry has tried to rebrand its image. So here's some of the top failed ad slogans for the camping industry. Number one is, camping is intense. how about this one? An excuse to drink in the middle of the week.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back to nature, sort of.
Yeah.
Okay. Camping where you spend a small fortune to live like a homeless person.
Yeah.
Camping because sleeping in tents beats sleeping in a cubicle any day.
Okay.
Take a hike.
Are you telling me?
No, that's just the slogan. Take a hike.
Oh,
okay. I heart nature. I'd rather be camping.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't take the heat, get out of the tent. Those are some good ones.
I guess. The last one's a little flimsy.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, that's some failed.
For our camping theme.
Yeah, our camping theme.
Camping theme. Well, as always, Rob, you bring a lot of great information to the table. The camping is intense. It's kind of a glorified dad joke, I think, but... pun intended, right? So, well, when we go camping today, it's not just going to be the two of us, as much fun as we both think that is. For our movie-going experiences, it's everyone's favorite inappropriate brother-in-law, who also happens to love being in the woods. It's, of course, Kurt. Welcome back, Kurt.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for having me back and letting me in your tent with you tonight.
Yes.
There's enough room in our sleeping bag.
Ooh.
Yes, this will now become a menage a trois.
In the woods.
In the woods. Yes.
Ew.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Wow. A threesome for all to envy. Wow.
We are three minutes and 38 seconds in, and we've mentioned.
No. It's never too early, right?
So, oh, my goodness. Okay. That's good stuff.
Well, as much fun as we're having talking about our tents, before we get into the movie... Yeah, we're never going to get through this if you guys don't. As you can see, we're having a lot of fun. And we know you have a lot of fun tuning into us every week here on Totally 80s and 90s Recall. So remember, when you're listening to this, hit that subscribe button. Share this with a friend. If you share this with just one other friend, it's going to expand our show. We want to get this out to everyone so that they can have as much fun as we are, no matter where they go camping. And once you've listened to this show, go ahead and give us a review and 5 stars. It's just going to help our show grow, and we can get out to more people. And that way we can have so much more fun with our listeners. Speaking of our listeners, we love to engage with the listeners. So catch us on all the social media. We're everywhere. We're Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. Send us messages. Also at our email address, 80s90srecall@gmail.com. We like comments about the show, ideas for upcoming shows, anything you want to drop. And let us know how you think we're doing and maybe what we can do to make it better. So with all that, Rob, what topic will we be covering for this episode?
Yeah, so today we are doing another movie episode. So we are talking about The Great Outdoors, the 1988 camping classic.
Yes.
Starring John Candy.
Came out 35 years ago.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Does that make you feel old, right?
A lot of things make me feel old. I don't need a movie to make me feel old. I just roll out of bed and... I feel old.
Did you see this when it came out?
I don't think so.
No. Saw it later.
No, my earliest memories of seeing this movie were the edited versions on TBS or whatever, because the blowout your kazoo.
Did you see it when it first came out, Kurt?
I was five. I don't not remember going to the movie theater when it first came out. So, no. I like Rob, remember the TBS Blow It Out Your Kazoo edited kazoo version.
Had you never heard the other, have you heard the regular version now?
I have.
Oh, okay. Yes. So you don't think Kazoo is the standing script that they used, right?
No, but I almost like it better.
Oh. I do. I think it's funny.
Kazoo makes it funnier? Yeah. It doesn't match. TBS didn't do a great job dubbing that in. Well, I have a lot of great memories with this movie. I did see it when it came out. We went to the theater, and then we rented it later. I think we bought the VHS. I think it was one of those VHS we had floating around the house. This and the Care Bears movie. Explain that. I don't know. Anyway.
that sounds like you, yes.
We did a lot of camping when I was a kid. Obviously in tents, as Rob was so eloquent to tell us earlier. And we didn't have a swanky cabin like old Chet here. So we were meager tent people. But I remember laughing hysterically at this movie as a kid. Candy and Aykroyd were great. It's got lots of great memorable quotes, lots of great scenes. I think it's just a good nostalgic childhood movie.
Yeah, we have this DVD in our trailer, and it's just a staple. And when we go camping, between this and the Goonies, and it's a regular.
You haven't hit the point yet where the kids are like, "Can we watch a different movie?" Or
no,
oh okay,
no, they like it. So they
I feel like it. My kids at one point would have been like, "Why do we have only two movies for like 2 weeks of camping?"
Yeah,
well, at least you guys have videos. I'm still camping in tents, so my kids just refuse to go camping.
Oh, okay.
We refuse to buy a trailer.
We refuse. That's fine. We become what they call bougie or glam campers.
That's right. You're glampers.
We're glampers. That's the word.
Glamping. Yep. Yeah. Got to have the AC and the running water and the
Can't camp without that.
No, I don't think we'd go back. I know we wouldn't go back.
At least not all of you would come back.
No, we had 1 year where we camped in. Before I think before we had kids, we camped in a tent up on Mount Hood, and we just got. It rained for 3 days, and we were in our tents the whole time. And I think we actually came back from that trip, and we bought a trailer, and
that was enough to sell you on it.
We're not doing that.
We're not doing that anymore. Yeah. So, in your opinion, John Candy had the right idea renting the cabin.
Oh, absolutely,
and not going out. Oh, absolutely. I did. I was always jealous of that. I did want to go on a camping trip in a cabin. I still have never done that.
Yeah,
we just always, like I said, camped in tents and stuff. And I'm like, man, that cabin's got a TV. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm out here. Rob used to come up. My parents had that
place at Merwin.
Place at Lake Merwin in Washington. And Rob would come stay with us, and he'd wander off, and I'd find him in the woods hitting rocks with a stick.
You'll still find him doing that.
For hours on end, for whatever reason. He'd find a stick, and he'd hit pine cones and rocks. And he'd just keep himself busy all day.
I wish that story was embellished.
It absolutely is not.
It was not.
So, and we'd always have to point him in the direction where other like trailers and cabins weren't, so that he wasn't hitting the rocks towards them. Because our neighbors would get angry. Who's the big Bigfoot in the woods hitting rocks? Mm-hmm. Nobody knew. So,
all I needed was a helmet.
Still do.
There would be.
There were two things
people
we did.
People would go, I understand.
Two things we did at Lake Merwin. He hit rocks, and we went to that pool. That was it. We'd be there the whole weekend, and that would sum up our weekend.
And there's some mean games of table tennis.
There were some good games.
I think you and my dad would do the ping pong table tennis. Whatever it's called.
That was good stuff.
And you guys would get intense.
Does
intense
ping pong is I feel like you've overused that at this point, so
darn it,
but you're gonna ride it
until
it dies. So you ready to jump into this movie, or you got anything else?
I'm ready whenever you are.
Ready whenever I am. Kurt, you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, well, let's spend some time with bats, leeches, horses, and crazy raccoons. Man, is this an animal movie or what? We're heading to the great outdoors. Well, before we start camping with Chet and Roman, let's take a look at some info about this classic movie. And only one person can eloquently tell us about that, and that is Kurt.
All righty. Thank you. So The Great Outdoors was released June 17th, 1988. Stars John Candy, Dan Aykroyd, Annette Bening, Stephanie Farsi, Chris Young, and a bunch of other supporting actors. Written and produced by the one and only John Hughes. It had a budget of $24 million and made $43.4 million at the box office. It has a Rotten Tomato score of only 41%. So according to the critics, it's rotten. but it had an audience score of 71%, so the fans did like it. This was the 24th highest grossing movie of 1988, but man, it was a great year for movies. Check out some of what was ahead of it, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Coming to America, Good Morning Vietnam, Big, 3 Men and a Baby, Die Hard, Beetlejuice, Cocktail, Scrooged, Rain Man, and Young Guns.
You said 3 Men and a Baby.
And a baby.
It's probably a fat baby.
And with all this info, Rob, what is the plot of this movie?
Nostalgic about the good old days in the honeymoon cabin, the patriarch Chet and the Ripley family set off on the idyllic woods of Wisconsin for the summer vacation. However, the plans for a peaceful family bonding in the heart of the untamed nature will be thwarted when the high-rolling brother-in-law Roman and the snotty Craig family decide to crash the party. Eventually, as the two families try to have a good time together, a seemingly endless series of misfortunes and many disasters with thirsty leeches, cunning raccoons, and a mythical wild bear threaten to ruin the vacation. What will it take to salvage the weekend?
It will take what? You asked the question, so I'm letting you answer it.
I don't know. It's just one of those open-ended.
I got you.
It takes the truth.
Rhetorical question?
Yeah, rhetorical. Oh, okay. Yeah.
The truth. This isn't like that kind of movie.
It is. Wait till the ending.
Wait till the ending. All right. Well, so Reader's Digest version of that. Chet and family go camping. Brother-in-law Roman and family crash the party. And hilarity ensues, right? So
hilarity ensues.
Where do we start at? So at the beginning, they're driving to... This feels like a drive I had taken with my family before. They're driving and listening to... What song are they listening to? Don't Talk Back.
So I don't know if that's the actual title, but...
That's the exact kind of music my parents listen to. So that I've been on that drive. I don't know if we were singing quite as emphatically.
I was going to say, the family seemed to be having a really good time singing together.
They're having a good time. So John Candy does a good job in this movie, I think, of being what Chevy Chase was trying to be National Lampoon's Vacation, an actual dad who like... wants to be the family guy, wants to have these memories and all that, and isn't like a narcissistic freak. You know what I mean?
Still a bit of a horn dog, though. A
little bit, yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. First thing.
It's multiple occasions.
Yes.
And, the kids are outside.
At least they're not in the back seat.
The doors are wide open. That's true. No. Yeah, they weren't in the back seat. So.
Yeah. Well, and they're coming from Illinois.
Yeah.
You know.
So and they're supposed to be in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
However, it was not filmed in Wisconsin.
No. Was it filmed Canada?
In California.
California, that's right.
Yeah. It was filmed at Bass Lake in California. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of it's on the Universal Studios back lot.
Oh, so, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So there were some shots. You should know that. Like when they're out on the boat, you can tell that's kind of a backdrop screen. Oh. That the trees don't move, nothing's happening. Mm-hmm. And the way the moonlight's supposed to be coming down, it's reflecting off the back of that screen. And it's like... that was open woods, it wouldn't reflect like that.
Yeah.
So they are on a lot for several parts of this. So we get up there, they're moving in, the horn dog goes into overdrive here as he's trying to have relations with the wife in the kitchen.
The wife.
Life
gets busy.
Dan Aykroyd, Annette Bening, and family.
The twins.
And the twins.
The twins. Yeah,
the Shining Twins or whatever they are.
Twilight Zone.
They roll in with a video camera, right? And then we go from there, right?
Yeah. Before we get started, did you guys find out what this movie was initially pitched as? The
Big
title?
Country.
Big Country. Big Country. I did see that.
And why did they change it?
Because they didn't want it to avoid confusion with Tom Hanks' movie Big.
Big. Yeah, it was too similar. So they changed the title, right? So I found something interesting. John Candy was only 38 years old in this movie. I thought he was older than that. Dan Aykroyd's only 36.
Oh, wow.
Again, thought he was older. Annette Bening is 30.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was actually a little surprised at how young they were. I thought they were like 40-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Everybody in 80s and 90s movies always seemed like they were 55 years old, no matter how old they were.
I don't understand that. But and this was Annette Bening's film debut.
Yes.
First movie.
I did read that.
So. She looked good in this movie.
She
liked Annette Bening.
She did.
So
she did look good.
Yeah. She doesn't have a lot of lines.
No.
But
she does a lot of good facial expressions when Roman is talking.
She's got the good facial expressions.
Yeah, so. She's got one of my favorite lines. The movie poster says, "A week in the woods with Roman and Chet. This is no holiday. This is war."
I'm going to go on the record right now. I love Roman. Like
I do like Roman.
Yeah, it's.
I think
it's,
he has the
Dan
best
Aykroyd
line,
is so good. This might be one of Dan Aykroyd's to me best movies. Like where he plays a character type.
movie. I just love how he delivers all of his lines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. At the beginning, you know, with our intros that I do, I talked about the big dick for Mr. General Cake. Yeah. That's a quote he makes in the movie, and it's just such a Roman quote that he would say that out loud. So I wasn't actually referring to your genital size, Rob.
That's
just using it as a... I know, the flattery is great for you. Worked out well. So
I'll take it where I can get it.
The lake portrayed in the movie is Lake... I don't even know how to say it.
Yeah, I heard it, and I was like, nope.
Potawatomi Minimac, but it doesn't exist. So they made it up. Chevy Chase and Bill Murray were offered the part of Roman before Dan Aykroyd got it, but they turned it down.
Well, I heard Chevy Chase turned it down because he was doing Funny Farm.
Yes. At the same time.
Yeah.
Eating those Rocky Mountain oysters.
And then I had read that he briefly considered Bill Murray, but he was on a hiatus.
Yep.
Yeah, he did that. He'd do two movies and he'd disappear for... I read that Aykroyd repeated a line from Ghostbusters when they catch the bat.
We got it.
Yeah, we got it again like they did on the first one. So that was pretty good. So they show up and Chet, John Candy's character, wants to have this like wholesome family. Mm-hmm. Bond with the sons. We're going to go out on the lake. We're going to do this. And then Aykroyd shows up, Roman. He wants to have a rock and roll show for the whole weekend, right? So renting speedboats, doing all these other things. And of course, he's living the high life. Rolexes and Mercedes and
lobster instead of hot dogs.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I really love that. That might come up later, but definitely a good one. Hey, that speedboat, I love that speedboat. Suck my wake.
My wake.
Yeah. And as of 2013, it was still seen out on this lake in California.
So really?
Somebody owns that boat.
Nice.
It's driving around with Suck My Wake. So I found the oldest boy, he's chasing around the local girl. Her name was Cammy in the movie.
Yes.
I found something out because I know how big a fan Rob is of 80s movies.
I know what movie she was in.
Yep,
she
I wrote it down for
in
you,
The Rob. Boy Who Could Fly, Rob.
Right, she was.
And I know how much you love The Boy Who Could Fly.
Yeah.
In my notes, I put Rob's favorite movie, The Boy Who Could Fly.
The Boy Who Could Fly. Yeah. Underrated.
Underrated.
Give that movie.
Rated exactly where it should be. So
at the top.
So at the top.
Someday somebody will unearth that movie and go, that was... It's underrated. Society is not giving that movie enough.
No one's bringing that movie.
It will. So. It's only a matter of time.
Well, so as we peruse through this movie, we're going through the different situations they get in with bears, animals, Roman, Chet. I mean, what are some of the highlights for you?
Oh, some of my highlights. Let's see here. We got the water skiing.
Yeah, that was good.
It was a good one. I love, there's just so much to do in this town. I found out that. We've got the go-kart / putting, or not putting, but
driving range. Oh, yeah. Real good.
Just horseback riding.
Oh, yeah.
Got the lake. This town's got everything.
They got an A&W root beer.
I had read was not really there.
Cammy was working there. I saw it.
Yeah, but they converted a local ice cream stand, too.
Apparently, there's a fair going on the whole time they're there.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's a big weekend. They never identify what kind of holiday weekend this is or something, but something's going on.
True. And then they go and pay homage to the 108-year-old dude.
Yeah, they do that.
He's the quite oldest understand. Guy in Canada, but...
But they're in Wisconsin.
They're in Wisconsin. Yeah. I don't know. He came across the border for his birthday.
I didn't quite understand that.
But it makes sense.
There's lots going on.
But no, there's not lots going on. Are you saying there's a flaw in the script? No. First of all, there's
no
flaw
in the script. No.
So,
there's movies. Yeah. That doesn't happen.
There's no problems. What are we talking about here? So nobody drives around with bears on the hood of their car. It's no big deal, right? So going out to the garbage heap, throwing food at the bears.
Zagnuts.
Would bears eat zagnuts?
Apparently,
bears eat anything. Right?
They're eating garbage. Zagnut would be good.
They do eat garbage. Garbage seems good though, right? So.
We got a guy that's been hit in the head by lightning 66 times.
In the head. It's got the, I like that. He's like, you get that neo skunk thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, Roman has got the hair. That's pretty good.
When it first starts there, they check in and it says, for prompt service, blow me. And I just like his reaction. He goes, that's an interesting touch.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you, 1988 me didn't think anything more than that blowing the horn.
Yeah, no, we don't.
And then adult me reads it, and then I did what you did. I get the little chuckle, and I go,
yeah.
It's kind of like the first time I saw Spaceballs, and it had that bumper sticker that says, I love Uranus. And I'm like, of all the planets, why would you pick that one?
Why
aren't
you on that one?
Like, there's so many planets.
There's so many good. Saturn's great. Jupiter's wonderful. Why is it Uranus? Then I turned like 16 and I go, oh, light bulb.
Got it. That's funny.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So. Also, when they're checking in and the dog tries to jump over the. The counter and
loves
she's full of freaking the porcupine from quills. Porcupine quills
loves porcupines hates people
like, she goes oh and she's in heat and he looks at the kid and goes too bad you're not a dog.
I was like what is going on with this dog mean? These owners don't even make an attempt to take the quills out of its face. They're just gonna leave them in there.
No,
that has to be painful, right, as a dog owner. I'm just throwing that out.
Well,
there.
I just think the Campos too. When he takes him to their lodge, he's sitting on the hood.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
He doesn't worry about denting the hood.
And he's just like, car. Drive on. So I will say, you're talking about the beginning. There's a little bit of a continuity. Not that we said there'd be any continuities, but when he parks next to like four trees.
Oh yeah.
And when he first parks, they couldn't have opened those doors. No. And then as soon as they open the doors, they're like 12 feet away from each tree. But that didn't make sense because when he first pulled in there, no one's getting out of those cars. So
that was a nice.
I like how all of them in the car don't look out the window before they just throw the doors open. Oh, yeah. So they all hit the trees.
What are you looking for? Yeah. So
I did notice that they say a little prayer before they get out.
Oh.
Or they do a little hands in kind of like, you know, and they.
But he's always doing. Chet's always kind of doing things like he's like, give me a hug. Oh, why not? Oh, it'll be fun. You know what I mean? So he tries to be half cool, half.
I thought that was a good, but you pointed out he was different than Chevy Chase's character.
No, he's
kind of the off.
He's what they were actually trying. Yeah. You said he was a horn dog, but at least he was just chasing his own wife.
That's
true.
All right. That's Chevy Chase was just chasing anything that walks around.
Dan Aykroyd, on the other hand, seemed to be doing some mischievous things with other people.
Well, he's making out with Chet's wife. I mean, he would have, I think.
Making out with Chet's wife at the end during the dance scene. He's gnawing on some lady's leg at one point.
I think that's just a style of dance.
Is it?
We're not used to. Well, it's got to be one of those mashed potatoes or, you know, it's got to be one
do
of those.
Do the gnaw? Dances. I don't.
Do the gnaw. You haven't done the gnaw before?
Do the beaver.
The gnaw is good. Well, no. Maybe.
Well, maybe.
And carry on.
And carry on.
And
nothing wrong with that.
I don't think the beaver was one of the 10,000 lands of dance or whatever it
was.
It
was not, apparently.
Should have been. Aykroyd was trying to introduce it, if nothing else, right? So, that scene, I assume, is just something they filmed with the set because he dances with Chet's wife the whole time. Chet doesn't dance at all.
Chet doesn't dance, and then Benning just makes faces.
Candy. Yeah, she's drinking martinis on and eating olives and just why isn't Annette Bening not dancing? She not know how to dance?
Either is Chet, though.
He's all pouty. Sean Candy.
He's a pouty puss.
No, he just sits over there. I think he'd get a little sweaty if he got out there dancing too much.
Sure.
Right? That's gonna work up a lather. That's what it's going to do.
That's not going to show good on screen.
No. Let's go ahead and let him. And he danced from his chair. He sit dances. That's what we'll call that, a sit dance. We've all sat danced before, right?
Well, that was every middle school dance. It was just against the wall. And
I mean, we all know you are.
Right, left.
We all know you were a golden dancer. You've been dancing since forever, but we didn't get to take fancy dance lessons like you did.
I've been known to cut a little rug.
That's right. Yeah. So you know, we go through this whole sequence. You know, they go out on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kurt said, there's so many things to do out here in this place. This is the best vacation spot I've ever seen.
I know. Okay. I don't know.
Your kids will be, you could, and the kids, they just, what's his face? What's the oldest kid's name? He just wanders off whenever he wants.
Buck. Was that Buck?
Buck, yeah. He's supposed to be, he's 17, the actual actor was, so he's supposed to be 17. And the boy who could fly, Cammy, she was also like 17 or 18. And she was just not great. Like, she just was
a little bitchy
from the start.
She's bitter.
Well, I still don't get her line where she goes, "You don't know how local I am."
That doesn't make sense. What does that mean?
When I was doing some research for this, I noticed a lot of people had that question.
What does that mean?
A lot of people were wondering.
If I was Buck, I would have immediately gone, "What the hell does that mean? Like, you don't know how local I am."
I just assume it means they've lived there forever and she's tired of being. I think when you're a local in a tourist town, they probably hate it.
Okay, so she establishes that and you think that's going to be the answer, but literally she tells him that. Less than 12 hours later, he smiles at her at the NW. She goes, "Well, if you can find me, we'll hang out." Like, she folds really quick. Like, it doesn't take a lot of convincing for her to all of a sudden want to go out with him.
I also, I I find that interesting. I mean, we went on a lot of family vacations and stuff and on the road and in little towns and camping and stuff. I don't know that I would have ever been brave enough.
To go trolling for women?
Yeah, to hook up.
I mean, Buck's got Jordans on. He's from the big city. He likes the ladies. He's not. He's not going to apologize for that. He's putting pool cues between her legs. I mean,
that was an accident.
That was an accident.
Was it an accident? Was it?
It was.
Was it? It seems like a great pickup line to me.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about my stick. Right. So, very conveniently, and I noticed she didn't notice it till it went like between two or three times. It's like the third stroke. She's like, "That's too many. What's going on back there?" Right. So, poor Cammy. You don't know how local Cammy. She is.
You I don't feel know. Bad for Cammy.
Everyone feels bad for Cammy. She's working at the A&W. She only gets a boyfriend for a week at a time. Every summer. This is how her life goes. Right. So, and she's just going to be there forever. I also noticed a couple times it would rain in this.
Huh.
And Buck would be outside, coming inside, and
not
wouldn't
wet
be
at
wet.
All. Yes, his hair completely
how did he
dry.
Come in and he's not wet at all.
I noticed that yesterday when I was watching. I was like, he's walking through the rain and his hair is not wet at all.
Not wet at all. Like, and no umbrella, no nothing. Just he's fine. No clothes aren't wet either.
Yeah,
he's just dry as a bone. Nothing we can be done.
Maybe he's wearing a poncho and you just didn't see it.
We watched the movie. We saw what he was doing. Right. So yeah,
took it off.
But. And his parents are always just trying to get in his way. It seems like poor Buck. I'm going to go see this girl. No, I got to watch Daddy to Steak. I'm going to go see this girl. No, I got to go see a 108 year old man. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go see this girl. Oh no, we got to go out on a fishing boat. Right. So,
well, he never actually got on the boat. I found that funny. He voted for the jet boat.
He did.
And then when it was time to get on the jet boat, he goes, "Dad, I'm just going to go walk around town."
But he did go get on the boat where they woke up with the leeches all over there.
But that's not a jet boat.
That wasn't a jet boat. And I'm impressed all of them were in that boat.
It was only the little people. The little freaky twins.
Freaky twins.
Where do you stand on the raccoons? Did we find the raccoons funny?
Yeah. I think it was well placed, you know, that you needed them in the
I feel like
that was good.
Yeah, I don't think they needed them. I feel like those were something they tossed in as a, like, younger people will think it's funny or something like that, but... Mm-hmm. I mean, if you didn't have the raccoon scene, would it have made a difference? No,
well,
I don't think so.
Why would he have thrown up the steak then?
What?
Without those large maggots all over the meat?
I guess. He also could have thrown up because he ate 96 ounces of steak. That could have been the other reason he threw up.
I do like that scene when he runs to the bathroom and the whole family follows him. You can see Dan Aykroyd's hand count to three before they turn around and run back out.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to make sure to give Chet enough room so that we don't. Do you think that was Dan Aykroyd like trying to help the other actors out or something?
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's like, okay, we waited long enough. Now we can run back out.
Now we can run back out.
And I want to go back to something you said earlier. You were talking about how this is a great place to vacation.
Yes.
You disagree with me?
Too
think
many people for Rob.
Well, there was some signs early on when they pull up and the owner's telling them, or the host is telling him, we sunk well over $300 into this place.
Yeah. You know,
Not counting the Lysol.
That's good.
And then, you know, the warning that you could get the shits from the well water. And so I'm not convinced that this is top notch.
They also have a cave right next to their cabin that's filled with like nitroglycerin and dynamite. Yeah.
And not well marked or not well.
There was like a rope fence that the kids went under.
There's just a little rope fence. Yeah. The twins could have just not gone.
Apparently, it connects to a bear's den.
Bear's den, yeah.
So the bear has access to it, you know.
Well, why wouldn't they?
I don't know.
That only makes sense. Come on, Rob. You've been in the woods. Bears, dynamite, they go together. That's the way it works. Yeah. Everybody knows that.
Well, and the wife.
I thought you were an educator. What is happening right now?
I think we've proven.
Proven. On multiple occasions.
That my title really means nothing.
Really means nothing.
Yeah, I'll give it to anybody.
Give it to anyone. Yeah, that's so right. Well, that's good. So, yeah. You got anything else before we jump into our categories?
What about talking to me about Shalana, the oak tree woman.
The oak tree.
The temptress of the forest.
You go ahead and talk to me about that if you want to. So.
And then
I'll leave if you guys need to be alone while you talk about it.
And then Bert.
Bert.
And I'm Bert, just a guy.
Just a guy.
And then did you know Smokey's cousin that he had a cousin?
Horny.
Who knew?
Anyway. I still think it's a good place to vacation.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
There's just so much to do. There's so much fun to be had. The local girls seem very eager to hang out with out-of-towners, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. so I see no problems here. There's a pool hall, like Kurt said. There's go-karts. There's a carnival.
That was kind of like a locals-only pool hall, too.
Buck care. Not only did Buck, like Buck took his younger brother to the pool hall. That's like, true. Let's go.
Benny.
Which, that was an interesting take because they were like with the family, and then 2 seconds later, they were in that pool hall. So I'm not sure how they got from A to B that quickly, but it went pretty good. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, if you don't have anything else, we will jump into our categories and see if we can't find some more fun facts about everyone's favorite movie about camping. Or maybe it's their favorite movie about camping. Blair Witch Project's pretty good, too.
It so. Is.
Different premise, but still camping. They have a
still
tent.
Out in the woods.
Yeah, they're on the woods. They're very similar if you really think about it. They're just trying to find, they're bonding, finding things, having fun. It's not their fault the ghosts come after them. And in this case, they have a bear. So, well,
okay.
Apples and oranges, Rob.
One can make the argument.
One can make the argument. Yeah. So, well, our first category, always a good category, and it is our favorite quote from the movie. Let's start with Kurt and see what kind of crazy quote he came up with.
All righty. So, as I said earlier, I really like Roman's delivery of all of his lines. Mm-hmm. So, one I picked was at the beginning when they're out on the little sun porch talking about nature.
You jerk.
Did I take yours?
Well, we'll see.
I apologize. We'll see. And Roman goes through this long monologue, and it says, I see the underdeveloped resources of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, a consortium exploiting over $1 billion in forest products. I see a paper mill and a mining operation, a green belt between lakeside condos and a waste management facility focusing on the newest range in waste, medical refuse, infected bandages, body parts, IV tubing, syringes, fluid, blood, radioactive waste, all safely contained, sunken in the lake and sealed for centuries. I ask you, what do you see?
What do you see?
And Chet just says, I just see trees. So I just love the delivery of the line. He hits like every part of it just great.
I like, yeah, mine comes from Roman too. He says, and you hit a little bit on earlier about Chet's going to cook hot dogs.
Yeah.
And Roman's like, we're going to have lobster. And so they come out and they're talking, the wives come out. And he goes, how about the gourmet here? You know what he wanted? Hot dogs. You know what they make those things out of, Chet? You know, lips and assholes. And then Chet goes, I guess I'm old-fashioned. I like assholes.
And what does Roman say? Well, I like, I'm new school, or whatever he says. I like lips. And he kisses Chet's wife. Chet's wife.
Well, and then he says something about, like, if he could market these lips, you know, I'd be rich or something like that. Yeah.
I'd make another million.
I'd make another million.
Yep. Make another million.
Gosh, you took mine, but the next one I had was also a Roman one, and he had some really long ones. Just from an acting standpoint, I think his delivery, like you guys said, is he was able to just riff and go. And
oh yeah.
But it's after Chet has told the scary story, and he's got the fireball up the chimney. and he's like, Christ, Chet, you know, I'm 25 pounds overweight, and I, you know, but then he goes in to talk to his girls, and he goes, good evening, how's it going? Listen, girls, as your father, I feel it incumbent upon me to set the record straight on the validity of the tale with Uncle Chet shared with us this evening. I know that a terrifying story like that coming from the mouth of a recognized authority figure could be traumatizing for kids like yourself. I know that because I had a similar experience with my Uncle Roy. And a story he used to tell about a family who went into the woods and was attacked by a band of escaped army psychiatric patients who had been subject to violent, hellish, torturous behavior modification experiments. It seems they escaped with the mental boxes the army kept them in, found his family in the woods, fell upon them, slaughtered them, and ate them. Now that story, phew, it gave me nightmares not to be believed. Well, I thought that Uncle Chet's story upset you in the same way. I'm here to say that there actually is no bear, and that all that Uncle Chet was saying was just a yarn. Spinning for our entertainment, and even if there were a bear out there, I'm in the house to protect you, so no more thinking about bears, all right? No more thinking about unpleasant things. We're going to close our eyes with a dream about nice things, about cuddly, soft, fluffy things, okay?
Super good.
Super good. Yeah, super. Like good night. Super. Sleep tight.
And then he leaves them with their eyes wide open. Then they go to the next morning. They're still laying there, eyes wide open.
But the fact that he could deliver that.
Oh, yeah.
All in one.
And he didn't even break, like...
Oh, no, he just...
He didn't even realize he's telling a crazy story anyway, so... Well, right before my quote, he had another one I put down here. It's when he tells him about the hot dogs, he's like, wait a minute, no way, wait a hot shit minute. Rule number one, no relative of mine is going to eat hot dogs as long as he's sharing my cabin. And then Chet's like, your cabin. So that was pretty good. But the quote of quotes, Rob, and I remember we rented this and watched it, and we would quote this all the time. It's Chet after the bear puts the door on him, and he says, Big bear, chase me. We used to do that all the time. Big bear, chase me.
Well, I still, to this day, when I eat too much, I'll do the processing nicely. Processing very, very nicely. Okay, continue.
I like the, you don't crumple the paper. You got to twist it. You twist it. And he says, oh, what does he say? I'm trying to heat the flu. Well, while you're heating the flu, the people in the room are freezing.
The other one that I was laughing out loud about is right before the bat scene, Mrs. Craig comes out. She's screaming. And they come running out. Roman says, what? And Kate says, it touched me. And Roman says, it's been touching you for 12 years. You've never freaked.
That's good.
She goes, not you, a thing. For 12 years. Yeah. What thing? That thing. And then,
One I liked was after Chet's fiasco of the water skiing, he's packing up and his wife comes in to talk him out of it. And he goes, let's talk about his kids. Okay, they're spooky. I'm waiting for their heads to rotate around and vomit pea soup. And she goes, I mean our kids. He goes, our kids already do that.
Yeah. I like when Roman says that the kids look at him like he's crazy, but he's scratching his ass while he's
they're laughing.
Like he's clipping his nose hairs and they're standing there looking at him. But he had another good one. Roman says, you wouldn't know a good time if it fell out of the sky, landed on your face, and started a wiggle.
Back to what Dan Aykroyd said, I think it's important to like read the whole thing. So Dan Aykroyd says, honey, she goes, yes. How come Chet's kids look at him like he's Zeus and our kids look at me like I'm a rack of yard tools at Sears? Why can't they connect with me? Well, maybe if you spent less time at work and more time with us, it would... Put a cork in it, honey. I'm on the phone.
I'm talking business.
I'm talking business.
He was trying to get the $25,000 as a preacher.
Yeah, and then you find out as a preacher. So.
Well,
rack of yard tools.
Lots of great quotes in this movie. You could go on probably forever. I mean, we probably missed a whole bunch of them, but the ones at the old 96er when he eats the steak.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like, he's done. He's not done. You know what I mean?
If we can get
Gristle and fat.
Gristle and fat.
If we can get a dessert down him, can we get some hats?
And what's going on with this, but since we've sidetracked on this steak situation, does the chef really stand there the whole time you eat? And like,
and why is he covered in blood?
Absolutely covered in blood.
He's not a butcher. He's just the chef.
The cow up prior to like right before he came in there?
He's not working with sides of beef. They showed us the fridge. It was just the steaks hanging there.
Yeah, I don't know why he's covered in blood.
There's multiple health code violations.
I'm of the opinion he's not even the chef. I think he's a psycho that wandered in and he's just
delivering this steak.
And nobody questions him because he's 7'3" and he's covered in blood. So they're like, oh, I guess he works here, right? So
could be, what was the Crystal Clear Lake or Crystal Lake?
Yeah, exactly. He came wandering out of the lake.
Yeah.
So he thinks he's Jason or something. Yeah, covered in blood for no reason. So the beard, I mean, he just looks like a crazy person. He's that escaped army mental patient that's out chopping people up. Well, that takes us to our second category, our favorite main character. Rob, we'll let you kick off with this one.
Main character, Rob.
I know. I'm playing by the rules.
Doesn't have
this
to be
time.
Main character if you want, one of the locals that. Without the local, they wouldn't have got the cabin they got. So
my guess is he's going to go with something furry.
Oh yeah. Oh, he likes furry things.
I thought about it.
He is a furry.
But all right. What I do in my own time is none of your business.
That's right. Sorry, Paula.
Gee whiz.
Be nice of you to stay out of my personal
life.
That's
right.
So, favorite character, Rob?
I'm going to go with Roman Craig.
Roman.
I think I wanted to go with John Candy.
Yeah.
John Chet. Because I think I relate more, more to him as a dad. And, you know.
I got you.
But. Dan Aykroyd's delivery of Roman Craig, I think, is.
And who do you got, Kurt?
I went with the Chet Ripley. I went with John Candy. Yeah.
So, because I also went Roman. I'm with Rob on this one.
I just thought he had the best lines. And actually, I think he's, in a way, he's trying to pull the stick out of Chet's butt. You know, he's trying to get Chet to line up, you know, lighten up a little bit. You know,
he's still trying to extract $25,000 from him.
I know. He's kind of a sleazy dude. But, you know, he's trying to have some fun. He's trying to get, you know, I do think Chet can be a little too logical and by the rules and, you know.
You say that he can be logical and by the rules. But when they first show up, he's peeling his wife's clothes off in the living room.
I think that's normal.
With the doors open.
That's normal.
I mean, I guess. I think he's a little more loose than you give him credit for. I just think he doesn't like Roman.
I think,
and Roman shows him up all the time, so he gets upset about it. That's
I just like how John Candy does the like the quiet upset when Roman does stuff.
Yeah,
and he does the little comments under his breath.
Yeah,
when you say quiet, like choking your wife quiet. No, I'm just kidding. I know.
he did it in a loving manner.
Yeah. No, I think
there's a whole website you can watch people joke each other. It's okay. Well, so
if Chet you was, say so, I'll take your.
Chet was ahead of his time, so that's all.
No, I think Chet's got kind of some of that repressed father husband thing, right? Where back in Chicago, I don't know what he did. I don't know what kind of work he did. I don't think they ever say what he does. But he's, you know, life gets busy, and now you get away
what
with
do you
your
think
wife.
He does?
And I don't know what he would do.
I'm thinking an office.
It's not much.
I'm thinking
they
an
said
office.
He doesn't make a whole lot.
He's making $50,000 in 87, so that's pretty good.
88. Now he's doing okay because they're coming up here. They put money aside for college. They'd already established that.
That's
and
true.
He is able to come up with $25,000 off the top of his head.
Yeah.
However, part of it.
Yeah, he was.
He
able
just
to
has to move some things around.
He just has to move a few things around. That's all. I think it's some kind of office.
Yeah.
Maybe like an accountant.
Yeah.
Something like that. That seems perfect for Chet, right?
So that's, I think,
insurance. Maybe insurance. Chet seems insurance-y. All right. Well, Chet, you got anything else about Chet there, Kurt?
I just put down that he was just trying to be a good dad, making memories with his son, and he puts up with the brother-in-law a lot more than, you know, I would.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Side eye to David there.
Side eye. Yeah. Whatever.
We just took a trip together. Oh, man.
Yeah, and it was wonderful.
You're still like each other.
We're good.
We took some days off. That's why.
Okay. There were like,
we didn't stay in the same cabin.
We were in Hawaii together for a week, and there were a couple days we didn't even see each other on a given day. Yeah. So.
Well, that's because you had stomach trouble.
I did have a stomach trouble.
I know. I noticed.
Damn Kahlua pork.
It happens sometimes.
It didn't process like we were hoping. It didn't process nicely at all.
No. It processed quickly.
It did process quickly. So, all right. Well, that takes us to our third category, favorite scene or event. Kurt, what do you got?
All righty. I went with the entire blow it out your ass scene.
A kazoo. Yeah.
Well, the kazoo if you're on TBS. Yes. Where they're just getting in. And for some reason, Chet's taken all of Roman's crap, and what puts him over the edge was you got to twist it. And that just sets it up for the whole ending where they get in a fight.
Well, real quick, I thought there was a comment made about something about ruining his vacation, Roman says.
Yeah, that's after the
and
twisting.
That's what tips him off.
And he goes, you're just ruining my vacation. Yeah,
nobody invited you.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
I got the son steps in and. Because he was going to, you poke me again, and I'm going to put a dent in your head. And
yeah.
I like how he threatens to put a dent in Roman's wife's head.
And Roman's wife's head.
You want me to do it too? And then the son steps in and goes, nobody's going to be denting anybody's head.
No.
Bite the big one, Uncle Roman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he throws the throws the towel at him. Oh, bite the big one, Uncle Roman.
And so. Don't talk to adults that way. Why not? goes, it's rude.
It's rude.
And so Connie just comes back, and that's when it starts blowing out your kazoo.
Yeah. Nobody's going to be blowing anything out their ass.
Why don't you just blow the whole world out your ass, Dad? The
whole world out.
That's great. And then the youngest son. So what you're saying is Aunt Kate and Uncle Roman are complete buttheads. Yeah. And they both go, exactly.
Exactly. Okay. That's a good scene. Definitely high up on my list.
Yeah. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the bat scene.
No, he likes the bat.
I like the bat scene.
You like physical comedy, Rob.
I do.
Little slapstick.
I do.
Because it's real heady.
Yeah.
It is heady.
Oh, yeah. So heady. Yeah.
Doesn't have to think.
He does get hit in the head.
He likes to think. Think about smacking each other with pots and badminton and rackets. And
my favorite line that I hadn't ever caught, and I had to watch it again, somebody else actually pointed it out to me, was where they're walking back to back, and Roman's going, where is he? And Chet says, I don't know. He's in the rafters. He's refueling. I just thought that was super funny. And then Roman goes, he's a fighter. I salute him.
And then he smashes him with that.
But we've got to get some sleep. And then he
smashes him with the
fly swatter. So.
I just still don't think that would have smeared a bat. But, yeah.
Come on, you little sonar-guided rodent.
Well, I'm going to pull a slight Robbish scenario here. So I love both of your scenes. There's a lot of scenes, but
God bless Barb Hummel.
I'm actually, yes.
Hey, rest in peace.
Rest in peace. I am going to go with the entire post-credit scene at the bar. Okay. I really like
that's fair.
everyone's having fun. Annette Bening's drinking. Dan Aykroyd is killing it dancing. Like, he is just going
great
all in.
Great plaid pants.
Oh, those plaid pants.
He's got a lot of plaid in the entire movie.
He's using a beer bottle as a
microphone.
Yeah. I mean,
well, he's getting the place rocking.
He's doing like 30 different styles of dance. He's on his back. He's doing, I mean, I don't know. He's
a lot of gator.
He's killing it. I like the entire, it looks like somewhere you'd want to hang out. If I was at that campsite for the week and I heard what was, I'm like, what's going on in here? And I would have gone in. And I'd have seen those plaid pants, and I'd have been like, yep, this is place to be. Right? That's so for me, the post-credit scene. And I love a lot of other scenes. The water ski scene is great. The bat scene is great. Mm-hmm. All of it. The kazoo is great.
I like the when Mr. Tompkin dies on the way to the party, and the kids are kissing him.
That's great, too. He goes, I don't think the kids should be doing that. Why? Because he died like on the
way to the party.
Why is he here?
Well, he goes, what'd you do that for? And he goes, I didn't do it.
He did it. He did it. That's pretty good.
I just love how they still brought him in the party, propped him up like Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah. No one will notice. Poor Bernie. Weekend at Bernie's. Good segue. I like it. All right. Category 4, favorite song or music. I'll start this one off. It ties to the post-credit scene. Yeah, I like Land of a Thousand Dances. It's by Wilson Pickett.
Yep.
Again, it's just a fun song. It reminds me of being a kid because I heard it on the radio. My parents listened to all the oldies. Mm-hmm. So for me, Land of a Thousand Dances, that's my favorite song.
I also had the Land of a Thousand Dances as well.
Are we making it a triad here, Rob?
A menage.
I did. It's a menage.
Nice. Yep. It's a menage of dances.
Only because I don't know the song real well, but when I hear it, I do think of the, I mean.
And you want to do the Watusi or maybe the mashed potato.
Yeah, can you name the 16 dances that were.
Oh, my goodness. I can't name them all.
No. There's a mashed potato. The
mashed potato.
Phony Maroney or something.
It is the Watusi.
Watusi.
The pony, the chicken, the mashed potato, the alligator.
Do they do the twist?
The twist, the fly, the jerk, the tango, the yo-yo, the sweet pea, and the hand jive, the slop, the bop, the fish, and the Popeye.
The slop, the bop, slop? The fish.
What do you think the slop is? I think the slop is whatever John Candy's doing.
If you don't know, you can't afford it.
That's right.
That's
No ZJ for you.
Nobody thought Beer Fest was going to show up.
Nobody. No. But there it is. Who's Bernie Bacharach?
What I did have on that song is that the single became Wilson Pickett's third hot R&B hip-hop song that went number one hit. It was a number one.
Yeah.
And his biggest ever, peaking at number six. But then in 1988, it was re-recorded by Pickett.
Yeah.
To be featured in this movie. Yeah.
It's really good. So, all right. So we all had the same song. That's cool.
Yeah.
Category 5, best location in the film. Mm. Rob, I'll let you lead this one off.
Mine's kind of a broad one. I just put lake. I just in general, the lake reminds me of trips back east to see my mom's side of the family. We'd go back to South Dakota every year, and a couple of years we'd stay on lakes and kind of the Minnesota type lakes and minnow buckets and tackle boxes and all that. A lot of that things just really hit home.
Rob, if you saw my notes here, it says the lake. I put it is so cool, and I always wanted to take a vacation like that as a kid with the cabin, the little town, the go-karts, all of it.
Somewhere we've got video floating around. My cousin and I, we stayed on this lake. Parents stayed in cabins, and I think my parents stayed in their camp trailer. We had a tent trailer. And my cousin and I took a paddle boat back on the lake, and we chugged around, and we got back in this little alcove of the lake. Well, there was kind of a current. We couldn't get out. And so my uncle Paul brings his little motorboat, a little fishing boat, and throws us a rope and starts towing us in, and we start taking on water, and we get about 30, 40 feet.
Is this story going to get sad? I mean, you're really lowering your voice here.
30, 40 feet out away from the shore.
Someone ends up dead. I'm going to be mad.
No, my cousin jumps off, swims to shore, and I proceed to, I'm hanging on. We've got video of this. I'm hanging on. My waist is kind of down the water. My legs are dangling. I could feel the seaweed. I'm like, I'm not going. I can't do it.
Nice.
My mom wades out and forces me off. And by the time my feet hit the sand, I think the water was up to the middle of my thighs. And I just was able to walk out.
This reminds me of when you and Jesse topsized a boat and wandered off. And
that was a really good time. Went up to Lake Easton, followed up a little tributary, turned around, boat flipped over. Lost the boat.
Kurt had to walk. Shoes?
No, my shoes were still in the truck. I was in a boat. I didn't need them. So I had to walk back in the forest. No shoes. There was cabins on the other side of the river, but we were on the side that had no cabins. Worst part of that was as we were walking about halfway back, we were probably about 3-4 miles into the woods. Worst part, walking just randomly on the hill next to the river, just a little girl's shoe. One single shoe.
That's creepy.
Oh, we were like, I don't want to find the rest of what's going on here. We just kept walking.
That's like when we went down the Yakima with you and Aubrey. That was before I think any of us had kids.
Good times, good times.
Yeah,
good times.
Lost an oar and
good times.
Right. We lost, broke one oar, lost the other.
Hey, maybe you two shouldn't be in water, as it turns out. So
yeah, that was.
I have been on a boat with Jesse multiple times since then.
But Rob seems to be. He should be avoiding boats at this point.
Rob just put his stick too deep in the water and hit the rocks.
I don't like water. If I can't see the bottom, I don't get in. So.
Well, Rob and I both had the lake. What was your favorite location?
I went with Paul Bunyan's cupboard.
That's good.
Just because I love the old 96er. You got the blood-covered chef just standing there creepily.
By the way, I looked up that online.
There is a Paul Bunyan's restaurant. Doesn't do the 96er, though.
It doesn't. And it's still open today, but oddly, they don't serve any steak. And there's only like 8 things on the menu, and they only do like breakfast and brunch, or breakfast and lunch, or something like that.
It didn't have a different name. It wasn't called Paul Bunyan's cupboard. It was like,
I thought that's
what it was. Paul Bunyan something, yeah.
Something like something, it was a little different. It was a little different.
Yeah.
It is a good place.
But I just,
and there's hats and shirts.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, geez. They were there. That's the tourist restaurant trap. There's always those places everywhere. I mean,
it's got the man versus food challenge there. So.
Oh, it does.
Oh, does it?
That would the 96er.
In the movie.
In the movie. Come on, Rob. You know that. So. All right. Well, we go from our favorite spots in the movie to our favorite, I know you're going to like this, wildlife. There's a lot of wildlife. We're up in the woods. So what is your favorite there, Rob?
Oh, man. Well, I was going to go with the bat.
Yeah.
But it's like dead.
That was fun. He's dead. I went with the bear.
Oh, yeah. Bald bear.
Jody.
Jody
the
who tells you it's Jody?
Good old Jody.
The raccoons.
The raccoons.
That's right. That's the raccoons.
David's favorite, the raccoons.
I actually have them as my favorite wildlife.
The raccoons? So
even though
I had the bear.
Do they serve any purpose? I said no. But when they are on screen, I do laugh. So,
the one quote they have about.
They even mention on the hot dog thing about, hot dogs are just lips and assholes.
Yeah. He goes, it's right before they come back. Yeah. From the steak eating, and the raccoons are going. And the one raccoon says, "We'll have to break in." Raccoon goes, "Can we do that?" The raccoon goes, "What do you think we have these wonderfully articulated fingers for to scratch our asses with?"
Scratch our asses with. I like when they're like, "Oh, they put rocks on the cans."
Yeah, we'll just have to knock them over.
We'll just have to knock them over.
I like how one of them's like the kid raccoon, and he goes, "Can I stay up late and watch the idiot clean up the garbage?"
Like the big one or something. Yeah. The big one clean up the garbage. Yeah.
So do you have anything else about the bear other than you just like the bear?
I do. I got Jody, the bear, was played by Bart the bear.
Yes.
Who was also in White Fang, Legends of the Fall, 12 Monkeys, many other movies,
the
TV
most
shows.
Popular movie bear ever.
That's right.
Outside of Yogi.
The bear had to be put down at the age of 23.
Maybe the Berenstain.
But yeah, no. Good old Bart the Bear.
Bart the Bear had
to be put down at the age of 23 after he got cancer for the second time and he refused to eat. Bring it down a little bit.
Bring it down. Jeez.
Sorry, it's real bummer.
All right. Damn, you usually have all the terrible stuff. Yeah. That's usually right up your alley. So. Well,
he almost made us cry because of his boat crashing.
Yeah, I said if a cousin ended up dead, I was going to be mad at that story.
No.
I was just happy his uncle was motorboating.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Rob loves a good motorboat.
I don't think any of my family back east listen to this.
Oh, that's good. No. Yeah, maybe so. Well, that takes us to category seven. Least believable event. Not that anything is very unbelievable in this movie, but.
It was a tough one.
I'll start with this one. I've got the water skiing scene. I think John Candy's a little too agile in this scene. And I don't know that he'd ever recover from the amount of wood in his ass from getting pulled off that dock. I mean, the infection alone would just be heinous. But the way he's on one foot at one point, I think he's got no skis on at some point. He's barefoot skiing. He's spinning. He's jumping. Would those reeds really have hurt your crotch at that speed? I think
maybe. Probably.
So I just don't buy John Candy being that great at water skiing, but who knows, maybe I'm crazy.
And from what I read about that scene, they filmed the movie in the beginning of the fall because they had to wait for tourist season to get over to film. So it was like only 50 degrees and the lake was only like 45 when he filmed that.
Oh.
So that just had to be miserable.
Oh, it would be rough.
I went with the lightning strike being struck 67 times.
Why is that, why is that unbelievable? They get lightning up
the
there.
The chances
a lot.
Of being struck by lightning are 1 in 15,300.
Reg is lucky.
The odds that one will be struck by lightning in the U.S. during one's lifetime are 1 in 15,300. On average, 270 people in the U.S. are struck per year, and only about 10% of the number die from that event. Around the world, approximately 2,000 people are struck by lightning every year.
It is said you are
4 times more likely to get a perfect score on the SAT than getting struck by lightning. So I'm getting struck by lightning.
I'm saying that there are people who win the lottery multiple times. You could get struck by lightning more than once.
Former 66. American park ranger Roy C. Sullivan holds the record for the most lightning strikes survived. Born in Greene County in 1912, Roy worked as park ranger in the Shenandoah National Park
in his native
Virginia. He was hit by lightning an amazing 7 times.
7 times. That's a lot.
And survived every time.
Maybe it was 66. Actually 77. He just couldn't get it out.
No, it was 7.
7. Everybody just thought it was 7.
Got that neo-punk thing or that neo-skunk thing going on. Right.
Got there.
All right. My least believable event was Chet outrunning the bear. Grizzly bears, I read, that can sprint 35 to 40 miles an hour.
That's really good.
John Candy was Chet a little younger, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't outrunning
that. Well, we saw him walk on after getting off the horse.
Oh, man.
That he did not do well.
He just rode a horse.
He's not running.
Yeah, he's not running.
I saw Roman have to help him across a little stream when they're going to look for the girls.
That's true.
By holding his hand.
That's right. So. He's not running from it.
Although I did read that John Candy said that he impressed the crew with how fast he could run that.
Yeah, that's good.
Because the bear was actually chasing him because they had a stick with food in front of him.
I'll throw an asterisk on Roman crawling out of that cave.
With two girls on his back.
With two girls on his back and that rain and mud coming down where he was crawling out of. I've crawled up stuff by myself when it's wet and muddy and it's very difficult.
Adrenaline pumping though.
I don't buy it.
He was scared of small spaces. He's claustrophobic. He just wanted out.
He was saving his kids.
Saving his kids.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't buy it. But we had to get him out of there. They were down there acting a fool again. So what are you going to do? Well, that takes us to category 8, my favorite category, Rob. I know it's your favorite. So we're going to recast this for today. So if they remade this today with actors who are playing the characters right now. So I'm just going to let you know, I looked around and I tried to match, since I got the ages, I tried to match the ages of relevant actors to those ages. So, but I'll let you go first, Rob, because I'm always interested in what you come up with.
All right. Well, I don't know. I don't want to give away.
You're supposed to know.
No, well, I do know.
You need to tell us.
But I have several options. I have 4 pairings.
No, there's no 4 pairings. You have to pick one recast.
Okay.
You're the casting director. All right.
Just don't pick mine.
I wonder if your mind went the same place.
Probably.
John Travolta, Nick Cage, Joan Allen, and Gina Gershon.
Yeah, well, so I see what you're
saying. I want to see a face-off reunion.
But they're all really old now. So that's why I'm saying I tried to pick actors that if I recast this in 2023, they would be able to do the movie. Because that's a whole different movie. That's at a retirement home. That's not up in the woods.
I'd still watch it.
I think because I could see John Travolta playing the Roman character. Could he deliver? Nick Cage would play the kind of the bumbling Chet.
So wait a minute, Cage is...
I'm just Nick Cage.
Cage is Roman? Could he develop?
No, Cage would be Chet.
Cage would be Chet. Travolta's Roman.
Could Travolta deliver that?
I haven't found my kids yet!
Could he deliver that urinal cake line?
I think he could.
Mr. Thick Dick to Mr. Urinal Cake.
I think he could. And Gina Gershon would play Kate Craig. She would be kind of more the uppity... I think we get a face off.
As long as Joan Allen's still wearing all those turtlenecks, we'll be fine.
Yeah. Then, so. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. What do you got, Kurt?
All right. I only did Chet and Roman.
Oh, wow.
I got Ryan Reynolds as Roman because I think he can be kind of the fast talking a-hole.
Good idea.
And then I went with Jack Black as Chet.
That's not bad.
He can be the wholesome dad type, but still be funny.
It's not bad. Yeah. I went with Chet. I got Seth Rogen.
I looked at Seth Rogen.
He's 41, so that's kind of matches around where he was. Miles Teller, if you know who Miles Teller is, he's in the new Top Gun. Yep. I got him as Roman because he was a little skeezy in a couple of these movies. Yeah. The Top Gun, he's kind of a jerky guy. For Kate, Roman's wife, I got Emma Stone because I think she can pull off that. Yeah. She's 35 now, so I think she could pull off that. And then for the wholehearted wife, but kind of fun and cool, I got Anna Kendrick as Chet's wife, Colleen. So that would be my recasting for the show. I didn't do the kids. We'll just grab some kids. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, I didn't do any kids.
So Kurt didn't even do the wives.
Well, according to my script here, it says, who plays any of the characters today? And I went with two characters. You're lucky I didn't just do one.
I'm just saying that the main characters were the four, the two husbands, the two wives.
Well, it doesn't say who plays all the main characters.
I thought of Miles.
I'm going off your script,
sir. I thought of Ryan Reynolds as Roman as well. It's just he's almost 50 now, so I thought maybe he was creeping
but
the age
still have, situation. He still has kids that age right now.
Well, he's got 73 kids, so I don't know what's going on
He's only got, I think, two or three. And they just recently had
I think they just had another one.
Yes.
So. Well, I don't know if you guys saw, you probably have this in your notes, but that April of 2017, it said Universal Pictures announced that a reboot of the film starring Kevin Hart was in development.
That's it was, but I don't think it ever
did. I think in 2017 died, and things like that would have been,
You know who else could be Chet? Kevin James.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that would be like the straight to TV version would be Kevin James.
Kevin James.
I thought if you got Adam Sandler's crew a whole.
You could just do the whole crew, redo
you just
it.
Isn't it just grown ups?
Isn't that just grown ups then?
Yeah, exactly.
Just
grown-ups. I also thought about Adam Sandler, but I was like, he's not subtle enough to be Chet.
He's not.
No.
And Kevin James is too much. He's a little too much of an idiot to be Chet. Yeah,
that's why I thought it would be direct to TV.
Because he'd be a lot more bumbling than even John Candy was. So.
I also read here, it says in November of 21, an interview with Hollywood Reporter Ackroyd said that he was working on a sequel with one of the guys that made the original called The Great Outlaws that would bring back Roman as a Ponzi scheme guy who victimizes a federal agent.
I heard a fan theory on another platform that, at the end, Roman goes to live with Chet, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they said that what happened was, because this is in 88, Roman goes to live with Chet, but Roman screws everything up, so Annette Bening takes the girls and leaves. So now Chet's stuck by himself, or Roman, but Roman, and then Chet kicks him out of the house because he's annoying and nobody wants him around. So he moves to Chicago, because they're from the Chicago area, we assume a suburb, but he moves into Chicago, gets a job as a salesman at an auto parts store. A couple years later, changes his name to Ray Zielinski, and within 3-4 years, he's built Zielinski's auto parts, trying to buy from Tommy Callahan. So that's your bridge from going from getting kicked out of Chet's house in Chicago to becoming Ray Zielinski, trying to buy a Callahan
auto. The auto parts king of Chicago.
Chicago.
That's right.
That's right. So, well, after looking at all of this and rewatching the movie, we've all rewatched it. We remember it fondly, nostalgically. You watch it in your trailer every year. Is this still a good movie?
I think most of this movie still holds up. Still funny.
Yeah. I don't think there's any too many like awkward things said or like situations where you're like, that was the 80s, that kind of thing. Unlike National Lampoon's Vacation, right?
Oh, yeah. So. A lot of things that didn't age well. Yeah, there's not a whole lot in here that...
I think everything aged okay. So I think it's a good rewatchable, fun movie for the for the family. Obviously, you sign off because it's one of your two movies you own.
I like it. And because I think it's a good example of kind of 80s, 90s, or 80s humor and family entertainment. And,
it is.
You know, it was.
And you have a sprawling DVD Blu-ray collection. Do you own Great Outdoors?
I do. That's how I watched it yesterday.
There you go. So I don't own it. I stream it. I think I own it on digital platform now. I don't own a physical copy. So
I actually had a physical copy that when it was, it's not a Blu-ray, so when it shows up on my screen, it doesn't fill the whole screen.
Oh, I like those.
So
those
it's like original.
Yeah. Get the classic.
Yeah.
Well, did we miss anything? Anything else we need to cover on The Great Outdoors? Rob checks his notes.
Well, I mean, I'm looking. I don't see
anything. He's very studious with the notes.
I still don't understand how it's only rated PG. Even in the 80s, it was still rated PG. That's a good
call. And they had, I think PG-13 was still on the cusp at that point. I don't know when PG-13 came in. It's like 88 or 89, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just thought there was enough swearing to move it up, but apparently.
But if PG-13 wasn't there, I don't know. Yeah. Plus, when you do.
There was just, since there was no nudity, they just left it to PG.
Correct. Yeah. Could have used some nudity. It's all right. I always like 80s boobs. You know, you get denied. It's not that great.
So. 80s boobs. 80s when you boobs. Get denied, it's not that great.
It's not that great.
He still gets denied. It's still
like,
not great.
I'm like 12, 13 years old. I'm like, what happened? There's no boobs here?
Oh, man. No 80s boobs. Jeez.
No 80s boobs. I'm going to my room.
What did you call on National Lampoon's? You called her, she had good.
She had a great pair of New York boobs.
New York boobs.
Great. It wasn't good pair of Chicago boobs. Yeah.
Chicago we missed out those boobs. Times. That's right. So
just got John Candy's boobs.
Yeah, it's great. So well, Kurt, as always, thank you for stopping by and giving us all your great intellectual knowledge on movies. Our resident movie hound over here. So. Oh, good howl, by the way.
Thank you very much. Thank
That's
you.
Gonna be your new nickname, Movie Hound.
I am the Movie Hound.
Ow! Movie Hound.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for stopping by. So that brings us to the end of this episode, Totally 80s and 90s Recall. We hope you've enjoyed our look back at the great outdoors. If you like this podcast, please hit that subscribe button, share it with a friend, head on over to Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us feedback. 5 stars will help the show grow. Rob and I love hearing from you. And as we said at the beginning, please feel free to email us, 80s90srecall@gmail.com. We would love to hear any comments you have on the show or show ideas that you might want to hear in the future. And we look forward to that.
So what are we doing next time?
What are we doing next time? Oh, you're going to like this one, Rob.
Oh,
we're going to be developing a couple of lists of our favorite songs from movies in the 1990s.
Oh,
so
now I have a reason.
Now look, I'm going to give you a parameter here because you'll wander into the woods and come up with some nonsense. the song has to like be part of the movie. Like people recognize the song from the movie. You can't just go find some deep 12th track on a soundtrack and go, oh, they play a really good bluesy guitar in this song. So this is my favorite song from this movie, right? No, it's got to be recognizable to the movie. So I'll give you an example. You're free to use it if you want to, but like My Heart Will Go On from Titanic.
Never heard of it.
Okay. Well,
terrible.
Yeah. You do live in the woods, so maybe you don't hear about these songs.
Wandering around hitting pine cones and rocks.
Hitting pine cones and rocks.
With my helmet.
And introducing yourself to Mr. Urinal Cake. Mm-hmm. So, Rob, give you plenty of time to prep. You got anything else?
I do not have anything else.
Fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbye.
No fancy goodbye.
Peace out.
Peace out. The raccoons.
Thick dick.
Thick some dick. Mr. Urinal Cake.
Going to be pinching a tent somewhere.
I'm sure the wife will enjoy that.
That's all right.
That's okay.
That's fine.
That's fine.